David Clement, the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center, is joining us. And I understand, David, you're on a business trip in New Orleans this morning.
Yes, yeah, I am calling in from beautiful New Orleans.
Well, having been to New Orleans a lot when I was living in Dallas, I'm just wondering what you're having for breakfast, a daiquiri or a margarita?
I'll have to be saving those for later.
Yeah, you're not kidding anybody, David. I've been there. I know, you're not fooling anybody. Business trip. You know, middle of the morning. Let's see. What's my choice? Margarita, daiquiri? Okay, let's get to serious here. Switch gears. The Health Minister, Dix, last week introduced the Voluntary Blood Donations Act. Basically, they're going to make it a law in British Columbia that you can not get paid for your blood or plasma. Now, currently in Canada, there are some for-profit organizations paying people for plasma. Then they sell the plasma on the global market. I'm confused, which is nothing new for me, of course, but I'm confused. Do we really need legislation like this? Why did he introduce this?
You know what? I'm not entirely sure why this legislation was brought forward. In fact, I either think that Minister Dix either doesn't understand where blood plasma comes from in this country or is being extremely hypocritical. The major issue with banning paid plasma is that it pretty much ensures that we're going to continue to have shortages. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge problem for people who rely on all of the treatments that come from blood plasma. So mm-hmm. the people who have burns or immune deficiencies, respiratory diseases, hemophiliacs, coagulation disorders, et cetera. And it's not just the shortage part that really gets me. It's the fact that it's hypocritical because in response to shortages, we actually import 70% of our blood plasma supply from the United States where they compensate donors.
Yeah.
And so we're banning something here at home while importing it from the United States where they pay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I lived in the States for a little while, and I certainly know people who have donated their plasma. I never did, but, but importing plasma from the United States, that's also a bit of a numbers game. There's, you know, the population is far greater in the United States than it is in Canada. So if we're short, obviously you would go to a country that has a larger population. That having been said, I think if you could make some dough with your plasma or your blood, I don't have any stats to back it up, but you would think perhaps more people would donate.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we see in provinces that have these paid clinics. Mm-hmm. So Saskatchewan and New Brunswick are two examples. And the reason why this is important is because it just shifts incentives enough to have people take about an hour to an hour and a half out of their day, because donating blood plasma is a little more intrusive than donating whole blood, and they're actually compensated quite well for it. It's between $30 to $50 for their time, and it does exactly what you suggested. It gets more people to donate, which chips away at the shortage, and ultimately that benefits patients and those who kind of so desperately rely on the various treatments that we create from this process.
Yeah, that's a nice hourly wage, about $45 for giving plasma. How often can you do it?
Yeah, so there are some limits in terms of the time frame and how often you can do it. I believe it's you have to wait at least 3 or 4 days in between donations. Mm-hmm. But that's mostly just because of the process is a little more intrusive than regular blood donation.
Yeah. Now, critics will say, social activists will say, well, you know, if you're going to be paying for plasma, you're really targeting the part of the population that are poor, and and that wouldn't be fair to them.
Yeah, I mean, some people say that, but who are we to stop? Somebody, who are we to stop somebody who's, let's say, below the poverty line?
Oh, I know, but you're going to hear that, though.
Of course they're going to say that. But the problem is that if that's true, which I have some objections about, why are we importing it from American paid donors? Mm-hmm. So it's not, it's the critics from organizations like Blood Watch or people who support Minister Dix's legislation may say that, but they're sitting on their high horse all the while knowing that we're still importing it from paid donors in the United States. And so those objections still exist. We're just banning something here at home that we get from south of the border.
Yeah.
And so for me, that just makes no sense. And that's actually why it's uncertain whether Minister Dix actually knows where blood plasma comes from in this country. Or, like I said, it's just being a big hypocrite on this.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing, David, when I was doing my homework for this story last night, I started reading side stories, and I came across a number of stories, and I mean, there were a lot of them, too, where a lot of young men going through university paid their university tuition by being sperm donors.
Yep. Very similar system, something that is compensated, and obviously that helps people who have fertility issues, and it's something that's helping people who are struggling, and donating blood plasma is very similar. And so, at least from my point of view, I don't see why we have this objection to paid plasma when we don't have it for other things, like you just mentioned with donating sperm.
Well, you know what, David? We're going to have to get a hold of Adrian Dix or somebody in his office and ask those very, very same questions, because you've opened up a bit of a can of worms here, and I'm curious to get the government side, so we'll do that. Listen, have fun in have fun in New Orleans. Not like you won't have any fun. You're already into daiquiris at 7:23 in the morning, so the rest of the day will be great.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on the show.